Hello and welcome to our June 2026 ISB podcast. I am Andreas Barco and I'm the chair of the ISB.
Hi Andreas, it's good to be here with you. It's Linda Mizan-Hutter. I am the vice chair of the ISB. And it's good to know that we've completed our June 2026 meeting. It was an interesting board session, I would say, in many different ways. The board discussed six topics and received our periodic work plan update. So today we've selected equity method, provisions, the PIR of IFRS 16, and one very interesting issue that was referred to the board by the IC, but more to come on that. I will say, though, that I've already heard from some who listened to that particular conversation that they found the discussion very interesting, so stay tuned.
Hope so.
Now, turning our attention to the equity method, I'll just remind you a little bit about the project background. The project objectives are twofold. One is to reduce diversity in practice by answering some particularly thorny application questions. And the other was just to improve the understandability of IAS 28, the standard investments in associates and joint ventures. And that's as simple as, in some cases, rearranging the order of the standard, making it more readable. And I think it's interesting to note that that's particularly important for those of our stakeholders where English is not their first language. And so understandability is very important to those jurisdictions. Now, we published the exposure draft in 2024, and we've been re-deliberating since September of 2025. And as well, I'll remind everyone that last month, the ISB decided to introduce an accounting policy choice that permits an investor to choose either full or restricted recognition of gains or losses on all transactions with associates, unless, of course, it's gains or losses on the transfer of business of a business, which would be recognized in full. We don't, in today's world, introduce many accounting policy choice, and so we had a particularly good discussion on why we chose to do it there.
Absolutely. And I think remembering that, that was really a very lively and I wouldn't say emotional, but passionate debate, probably. And that I think that main theme just continued. So this month, we discussed separate financial statements, the disclosures in IFRS 12 and in IFRS 19, our reduced disclosure standard. So let me take the decisions and the discussions in turn. Starting with separate financial statements, following the accounting policy choice that Linda, you just mentioned, we, after many iterations at that board meeting, decided that we would provide the same accounting policy choice for investments in associates and joint ventures as well in the separate financial statements. But we also decided that that accounting policy choice can be selected and made independently of the policy choice that was elected in the consolidated financial statements. So consistency was not deemed to be necessary. Secondly, we decided that if there was a subsidiary that was accounted for under the equity method as per IAS 27, we would also permit an accounting policy choice that can be independent of the policy choice that was elected for associates and joint ventures. So two policy choices, and they don't have to be consistent with each other. Why did we do that? Because we believe that this responds to concerns in jurisdictions where separate financial statements affect dividends, taxable income, or legal capital. And we've heard that loud and clear from those jurisdictions, and we just wanted to recognize that and respond to it. Lastly, we've decided to drop proposals on acquisition in stages or loss of control of a subsidiary accounted for under the equity method when the entity continues to apply the equity method to the investment. The reason here really being that we said this is a project on IAS 28, and the question about how what to do in terms of acquisition in stages or loss of control of a subsidiary was really more an IAS 27 issue, and we felt that this was out of scope. So therefore, we decided to drop it. Turning next to disclosures on IFRS 12, we decided to proceed with a new disclosure objective, so explaining the changes in the carrying amount of investments in associates. We also reaffirmed our proposal that we will require a reconciliation of opening to closing carrying amount of investments in associates. And we believe that these disclosures really respond to user needs and requests. So what's left? We have complete most of our technical discussions in that project. We will continue to discuss over disclosures in relation to accounting policy choice. And then obviously there will be the necessary requirements with regard to transition and the balloting. So stay tuned, more to come.
Thanks, Andreas, very much for that those explanations. I'll set up the next project for you. And this is in provisions. So I'll remind you that the project aims are to make targeted amendments to IAS 37 to help companies apply requirements more consistently. And therefore, if they're applying them more consistently, that provides investors with more useful information. We published this exposure draft in November of 2024. The comment period closed in March of 2025. And since then, we've been deliberating mostly since September of 2025. And at this point, we've discussed all of the main matters, we've made tentative decisions, and we also are now feeling comfortable that we've confirmed the broad support for the proposals in general. But more from you, Andreas.
Thank you. So, I mean, given that we've basically re-deliberated almost all the issues, it doesn't come as a surprise that this was a very short session. I think it probably lasted only 15 minutes. Basically, we discussed the plan for what is left to actually complete our re-deliberations. So staff reminded us that we haven't yet discussed a few details of the proposed requirements for recognizing a provision, and we haven't re-deliberated the guidance on implementing the new requirements, the famous inclusion of that decision tree that was very well received. But given that we have made some refinements, probably the decision tree would require some refinements as well. And last but not least, the illustrative examples. And as for any project, how to get from the current state to the new state requires us re-deliberating or agreeing on the transitional requirements. In addition to those re-deliberation points, the board agreed with the staff's suggestion to perform limited further testing of the proposed new application requirements for levies. We have been debating those for quite a while and over the last board meetings. We believe that we are now in a good place. We believe that we have responded and found a solution to the concerns that were raised to us. But we want to really make sure that these requirements would not have no major unintended consequences. Limited outreach in that regard. We are hopeful that we can complete the technical decisions on the amendments later this year.
Now, let's move on to the next project. And before I go totally into this project, I want to give a little background. We keep calling this project non-income tax charges, which is interesting because to the people in the jurisdictions that are affected by this particular issue, and this issue is really coming out of IFRS 18 application, the things that they're talking about to them behave an awful lot in some cases, like income taxes. But we've called it non-income tax charges because they don't really fit all of the requirements that exist within IAS 12. So we have a bit of a dilemma, all right? And so let me give you that context, because when you keep hearing non-income tax charges, just understand that this is not the traditional definition we've had of income taxes all along, but we are now looking at this with a new lens in terms of the importance. So there's some background here that you need to understand. There was an issue presented to the Interpretations Committee, and in March of 2026, the committee finalized an agenda decision, and it indicated that the classification of taxes or other charges that are not income taxes in the statement of profit or loss, and also looked at updates to two related agenda decisions. Now, the stakeholder concern that we're dealing with, these so-called non-income tax charges, and the working example we're using is Saudi Arabia's zakat. They would have to be classified outside the income tax category, and generally under IFRS 18, in the operating category. And the concern that has been expressed is that this categorization may not reflect the economic substance of these transactions. Users have told us they may not provide useful, or they will not provide useful information. And there's definitely an issue with comparability in terms of that they're being labeled income taxes or not income taxes. Now, the Interpretations Committee discussed the issue. They did their very thorough homework, and they confirmed the conclusion, number one, that IFRS 18 does not allow an entity to classify taxes or charges that are not a tax expense or tax income applying IAS 12 in the income taxes category. IFRS 18 is actually quite clear on this matter. However, as sometimes happens when we hear from the Interpretations Committee, the committee acknowledged the concerns of the actual issue and decided to report them up to the IASB. And so in May of 2026, we decided to explore amending IFRS 18. That's where we are now. And the initial idea we've had was to require or allow classification in the income taxes category for non-income tax charges that meet the definition of a covered tax under the OECD's Pillar 2 model rules. Over to you, Andreas.
Thank you. So it's maybe worthwhile reminding our listeners to the fact that in May, yes, we decided to explore whether we could amend IFRS 18, but it wasn't a unanimous decision, right? There were, I think, if I recall correctly, three board members that had reservations at that time. So they said, we want to see the text. We want to see what the staff really comes up with. So in this month, the IASB considered the technical aspects of a potential amendment. And the staff's view that was presented said the matter is pervasive, so we kind of just duck away. Standard setting, they believe, was feasible. The potential benefits would outweigh the cost, and therefore we should be publishing an exposure draft. Now, the board had a pretty long and pretty intense, and I would say pretty good and robust conversation and discussion over the technical aspects, including using the OECD Pillar 2 cover tax definition as a hook, as a proxy for how these issues like the SACAT actually could be dealt with. We also discussed whether to allow or require classification of other covered taxes in the income tax category, whether we should require disaggregation, so have two line items, one for income taxes as per IAS 12 and one for the other covered taxes. And we also discussed and mulled over potential disclosure requirements about nature, amount, and basis of calculation. I think what was really reassuring that everybody in the room understood the issue and they were really sympathetic to the concerns that were raised and they were open to exploring the potential any potential amendment. Where they were less sympathetic was, is it that proposal? Is it that particular amendment that the staff was presenting? So what we decided in the end is that we will not pursue the staff's proposal, so use OECD Pillar 2 covered taxes as a basis. But we sent the staff back and said, look whether you can come up with something that's more narrow, that actually depicts more clearly something that would be in lieu of IAS 12 income taxes, taking into account the case study of Saudi Zakat. So the board will rediscuss this issue again in the next board meeting. Everybody was absolutely mindful that we don't have a ton of time to deal with that because IFRS 18 is on the doorstep, so we need to act very, very swiftly.
Yes, it's always troublesome when you have to do something that's a bit complicated
absolutely.
Too fast. And
absolutely.
I think that's a fair concern of board members. But I thought it was really interesting in thinking about that conversation after we finished that meeting was that at the end, we came to the conclusion that there was quite a bit of consensus about needing to deal with it. And it was really coming down to, was there an effective way for us to deal with it in the time we have? And I thought that was a helpful discussion. So let me speak for a second about the PIR of IFRS 16, and then we'll wrap some things up. So we discussed the suggestions in applying IFRS 16 with other accounting standards. And in my history and industry, it's always interesting. It's one thing if you're applying one accounting standard, but when you have things that might cross over into another accounting standard, that really typically introduces some discussions and some complexity. So we focused on 16 with IFRS 9 on rent concessions, IFRS 15 and sale and leaseback transactions, and IFRS 10 on corporate wrappers, and then some other miscellaneous matters raised by the respondents to the request for information. We did decide to take on a narrow scope project and clarify how a lessee applies the requirements in IFRS 9 and IFRS 16 to rent concessions, where the only change to the lease contract is the lessor's forgiveness of lease payments due from the lessee under that contract. And then also to undertake this project together with the research project we've already set aside on the cost reduction measures that we want to work on. That was decided in March of 2026 and really refers to the continuing higher than anticipated ongoing costs of using IFRS 16, and we want to take a look and see if we can do something about that. We considered the stakeholder feedback on sale and leaseback transactions involving single asset entities. We decided to consider this matter together with other corporate wrapper matters as part of the next agenda consultation. And it's not too far away. It's likely that we'll begin some thinking about how to manage the agenda consultation later this year. And we expect to then do the agenda consultation at the same time as the IASB does theirs in 2027. So this particular project's last meeting is planned for next month with discussions of an overall assessment and the normal due process requirements, and we hope to publish the project summary later in the year. Well, Andreas, it's your last podcast.
That's true.
Yes. And I did my first podcast with you, and I'm doing your last podcast with you. So I'd like to say that it's been an interesting journey. So as I was thinking about this morning, the first couple years that I was vice chair was really rewarding from the standpoint that we got the board filled out. We had some stability on the board, so we got to know each other and got to work together. And I was thinking about, you know, we were focused on getting some projects done, which we have, okay? And during that time, I always appreciated the fact that you included everybody in every discussion, that you were open to having discussions, not only with the board members, but with the staff. You've always been accessible. You've always listened. You've always been thoughtful. And we had that time in those years to really focus. And so now instead of having 25 projects, we have like 12, 13. It's always in that region. So we really made some progress. But then we got faced with some more challenges. And I would just characterize those as, we are living in a world that is changing so rapidly, and we have to figure out how to adapt to that rapidly changing environment. And every time I turn around, somebody's asking me how we use AI everything, you know, new ways of thinking, new ways of doing things. But such as we need to adapt, we will. But again, I want to emphasize that through all of those challenges, you've been inclusive, you've been accessible, and also, I want to mention for the benefit of everybody listening, you've always emphasized the importance of listening to our stakeholders and learning from our stakeholders, that we don't have all the answers, that we want to learn from everybody and consider all the options. So thank you for that. And thank you for your personal support to me as being a vice chair, because I think it made a big difference that we could work together so closely. Thank you.
My pleasure, Linda, and thank you very much for these nice words. It's true, my term of 5 years is coming to an end. And when I came here, and I still remember having delivered my first interview, people asked me, what's it like being at the IASB? Is that different to what you've done before that when you were at the helm of the German Standard? And I said, look, this is Mount Olympus, right? It can't get any higher. And I think that appreciation, obviously, and has also led me to be a bit more humble of, be mindful of, you're really having an obligation to take people along and to listen to what stakeholders are saying. Now, in these podcasts, obviously, we reverse the order because our stakeholders are listening to what we are saying. But nonetheless, I think we just want to continue that path. So let me thank you personally, Linda, for a fabulous time that we had together. Let me use this opportunity to also thank our fellow colleagues on the board and the staff. And let me reserve that last thank you to our stakeholders who are listening to this podcast or elsewhere, wherever they sit. You have made possible what Linda described in bringing down our convoluted agenda and really let us concentrate on getting work done, not at neck-breaking speed, but really providing high quality solutions. So thank you very much for that. And with that, I think that's really now to say goodbye from the IASB, but keep listening in because there surely will be another podcast next month. And thanks very much for now.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. Please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions. You can also sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media.